flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Tuesday before Super Bowl 59, live on Radio Row in New Orleans, Grant Paulson, Danny Rouye. You're listening to G&D on the Fan. Danny back in our Half Street studios. I'm out here with Darius Dameron, tracking down some of our favorite people in football to have on the show, and one of them joins us right now from Sumer Sports, Thomas Dimitroff, the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons and longtime NFL executive. We've had on the show a few times over the last several years and thoroughly enjoyed chatting ball with. But, Thomas, it is great to see you again. How are you?
I'm good. As long as we found our hotels, we're fine.
That's right. So, Danny, I was checking in, or yes, trying to check in to a hotel, and Thomas is right in front of me when I'm checking in. And he goes, I think I'm at the wrong place. And I said, I think we're both in the wrong place. And I stayed to try to sort it out. He's like, you want to take the Uber to the right place? So we both figured it out.
Yeah. There are three Omnis in the same span of a mile, though, so I don't, right, maybe we weren't that far off.
I don't think we're the first people to make that mistake. But I will say you were one of the first people to come on our show and tell us that you really liked the brain trust that Washington put together. And for you, there was some experience that came with that. Yep. You worked hand in hand. You were the Peters and the Quinn in Atlanta. You were the Peters part,
sure,
as the GM with Dan. And obviously you worked with Peters in New England. I didn't love the Quinn hire. I think I even addressed this with you on the air. I don't love defensive coordinator hirings and retreads, and I'm an offensive-minded, pair it with a play, you know, number two overall pick quarterback guy. But I've been eating some crow. I mean, he had a hell of a year. He built a great culture, and God bless him. I mean, he might be the coach of the year for a team that just got to the NFC title game.
Well, you know, you watch him. You watch what he brought to the table. It's an interesting role of reversal. When he came into Atlanta, I was a seven-year veteran. He was the rookie. Now he's the seven-year vet, basically, and AP's the rookie, right? So I think it works really well when you have, you know, it's just a really good mix on that level. Dan is 100% leader. And by the way, I think I told you this. I don't know how many players came to me on the side and said, I will play for Dan Quinn at less for less money. That's how much I appreciate this guy. And, oh, by the way, if I can stay here for my career, he's got a real hold on the players. You know that.
Thomas, for this Final Four, maybe even by the playoffs extended, or looking at a team like Detroit that by all accounts probably should have been playing in a game like this, what's kind of our theme? What's our takeaway for how these teams are built? Easiest thing to say is have a great quarterback, will travel. But looking at how these rosters are constructed, right? And I'm kind of looking here for takeaways and ideas maybe for Washington that they can apply. But looking at some common themes, where do you go? You know what? This is what's winning in the league right now.
Well, I mean, look, we know the trench thing. Look, I've had people battle with me for years that I've spent too much time putting tools around Matt Ryan, right, to keep that young quarterback growing. Let me start off with a tight end. I mean, your tight end performed very well. When I was looking at it going in, I'm like, ooh, I don't know, Zach. I don't know if he's at the tail end. He obviously is. I think continuing to grow that tight end role and the athleticism for a young quarterback to have that high percentage shot is always huge for me. We did it with Matt Ryan again and Tony Gonzalez, right? Those are big things. I think both of these teams, and we'll start with Philly, as you know, they're built with such a strong offensive and defensive line. Let's call the trenches the way they are, right? I'm basically getting there and saying if I ever were to have come back as a GM, And I was talking indirectly with Tony Boselli, because Tony Boselli took over that president job, right, in Jacksonville. You know there are people out there that believe 100% building through the trenches. Jumping around a little bit here only by saying I love that how he does that. I love that they're aggressive with how they put that together. They have strong stoutness there, toughness there. That sets the tone for a really good quarterback that you guys have. I think on the other side, you have coaches like on Andy Reid's side, a coach who is trusted, who is respected, who is believed in from the players, which is really, really important, so that when you bring people onto your roster, they're going to follow Dan Quinn like they follow Andy Reid in a different way. Don't get me wrong. So but what I will say, and I can go round and round, I've talked to a million people today, so I apologize for this. Both of these GMs are at the top of their game, and they're aggressive with how they put together their team. They don't look bad. They're not worrying about what fan base and media say respectfully. They're like, they're going to do what's best for the team, and I think that's really important. You guys don't have – I mean, there are not holes, but you guys – I keep saying you guys. Like, I think that your local team – is it a you guys?
You guys. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
We all stretched long, Thomas. Like, I was doing it,
Yeah.
I
was the left guard. Danny was the nose tackle.
Guys, yeah, I get it. I think my end-all, be-all on this is I really do believe that you guys have some areas that you can build with. Gosh, you guys almost have $100 million, right? Isn't there? Third most cap space. Get aggressive. Don't spend it. I mean, I'm not, I know you need receivers as well. I don't, to go out there and spend it on T. Higgins, that's a lot of money. That cap may be nearing, $40 million? I don't believe that. I think you can be really creative with that money to the positions that you can get. And there's a really strong draft class in pass rushers, which I'm sure you guys would continue to want to have. I don't know if you're going to bring me back to the pass rush situation that's available.
Oh, we will. Absolutely.
Okay. And that may be one.
Yeah, so I want to tackle that. But before we get back to even additions, you said something I've got to double-click on before Danny went kind of league-wide there. You said you had players come to you willing to take pay cuts to play for Dan Quinn. I know you're not going to get into specifics, and you shouldn't. Yeah. But I want to hear more about that. I mean, just because they liked the guy that much?
Well, because they thought, A, that given his approach to everything, his positive, passionate, persevering approach, that's what they built, they bought into. They knew that he was going to do all that he could to help them be the best player they could be, even as a head coach, right? He wasn't out there, of course, coaching the wide receivers, but his presence, I think that's where it came from, because I think they have never been around a coach that had their best interest in mind, at least in their opinions. And these were legit players. I won't get into the details on it, but I was always amazed at that. Meaning, I knew that Dan was special that way, but people were telling me, like, even I want to finish my career, but taking the pay cuts for that, that's a big, big deal for
Dan. Yeah.
It's a huge compliment.
So is that what it is? Like, when I'm trying to figure out the secret sauce, my brother-in-law is a high school football coach, and he called me one night, and he's like, what makes Dan Quinn such a good coach? Why did all these players love him? Why do guys like Logan Paulson, who I think you were there, when he came in as a third tight end now in D.C., he told us there's never been a coach he was around that like he just enjoyed playing for more. And you hear that from everybody. He's like, what is that? What's that secret sauce? So I don't know the answer. But it sounds like maybe, from what you just said, it is the feeling that they think he believes in them or wants the best for them?
Look, I think he is that guy, and it is authentic. He wants to come in there, and he also will hold them accountable, which they love, right? They know in the end, Dan has a tough-ass side if he needs to be that way. He's not going to go out and play it up and act like the contrived tough guy. But if he needs to address someone, and I've been in those situations with him, which I think, there you go, man. As positive as you are with everyone and upbeat as you are, when it's time to turn the screw a little bit, he will do that when appropriate. And they believe that. And that's for the best of them as well. So if they're lacking a little bit and he presses them, they know on the other side he's also going to pat him on the back, give him a hug, and say, okay, let's go. Let's jump in. There's something special about a leader like that, I think.
Thomas Dimitroff with us here on Grant and Danny. So repeating this act and maybe even exceeding it here after year one, which was such a wild success, exceeding everybody's expectations, what's the biggest challenge now that you're the hunted going into sort of year two of this program?
Well, I think, everyone went in this year not thinking, they were thinking, we'll see how this plays out. If they can get to 500, that's a big deal. And I don't even know where you guys all were on that, of course, because I wasn't listening regularly. But I think these are the kind of things now where you can't sit back. This is coming back to my earlier rambling point was being aggressive, making sure you're making sure that you are forward thinking on all of those holes, like the O-line. Get that for years to come. Get that tight end situation taken care of, because before you know it, you could be in the second half of next season. You have an injury here and there, and all of a sudden you are in a really different spot. So I think it's being aggressive with your forward thinking on making sure that this team stays together and builds it on the front end of it.
You mentioned the word aggressive. You were one of the few GMs, I remember, that was kind of like a wheeler and dealer in the NFL. The NBA is so different. I think I had you on at trade deadline time, and I mentioned to you, I'm like, when I go back and look, you treated it almost more like baseball or basketball. And a lot of NFL GMs just don't do that. I don't really know why that is. But how do you know when it's time to push the faders up a little bit? Like, Peters probably had a 3-year plan or 5-year plan or 1-year, you know, 3 different plans, whatever. And now you just accidentally, whoopsie daisy, we got to the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels might actually be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. So, like, how do you now recalibrate? Because you're saying, let's not waste the momentum here. Let's go. What if he's sitting there going, I don't want to push it because we probably are more of a 10-7 team in our, you know, method. And maybe this year with a tougher schedule, we're just trying to stay at 10-7. Like, how do you do that math in your head?
Yeah, I think the big thing is this is, we've said this time and again, this is a not-for-long league. Dan Quinn has a really strong grasp of that. I believe Adam Peters does. You can't just sit back on your hands. You have to make the most out of your opportunities. And, again, in 2 years, that could change. So that's where I continue to say, when you're looking at potential trades, either acquiring them, which I'm sure we'll get into, or when you're looking to trade your own players, right, or move on from players, it starts with, when you're outlining, it starts with the fact that whether these guys are performing or not, right? That's a big thing. And then it is, let's call it the way it is. If it's a character issue within your locker room and you're just not getting out of that person, he's not a program type of person, that's another thing. And then, you know, ultimately when you're talking about money, I mean, some of these things, if they're just not producing to the level they should be producing and their money is exponentially higher than it should be, it's time to truly look at that. And I think Adam Peters has a really good feel for that. It's just a matter of taking action on it, right, when it's presented that way. And that's important.
How did you weigh draft picks, salary cap, just everything, the full puzzle piece of building that roster where, you know, I may have to get worse here or have less to work with in a certain area to build my team versus a need? Like, what would win in kind of those different tug of wars in terms of improving the football team? Just thinking about where Washington is now and how they could apply that.
Well, I would just say, if I'm understanding your question correctly, I mean, everyone knows you can't get it all, right? You can't go in any given year this year, even though there's a lot of cap space here. What we did is we were really big on scenario building, and I think Dan would talk to you about that or not. Maybe he wouldn't, but that was a big part of what we did. We would go through scenario after scenario about the best way to build our football team, where we're going to allocate our resources, where the best places to go in free agency are, value, of course, and where the best places are to draft. And I think that is something that a GM and a head coach have to be on the same wavelength. You can't just bring in players, as you guys know, that are just talented players but don't fit in the scheme of what they're doing. And that's a whole other topic of conversation. If you are lucid with each other on how you're going to build that football team as a GM and a head coach, then I think you have a fighting chance to take care of a lot of business in 1 year and understand the next year you can address some of the other issues. I think it takes a really smart internal office, head coach and GM, to be have foresight on it. And you never can predict the injuries, of course. You can predict some of the financials, of course, and the value of it all.
Thomas Dimitroff, who ran a front office with us on G&D. So we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about putting a GM hat on here for the big story in town now, which is a lot of people are linking Washington as a fit to Myles Garrett. He wants to be traded. So I guess first maybe you can act like you are the GM of the Browns. I mean, is that something that you would even do? What would it take to get him? I saw a couple of different sites floated 2-1s is kind of the starting point for the negotiation. And if you're Peters, is that something you'd be willing to pay?
So I just say, first of all, as you know, you think about the GM from the Browns, right? And you think about how tough that is to hear. I mean, they've run through a lot there. Kevin Stefanski and you know, how they're doing things there. They're good people, and they know football well. Andrew Berry's a smart guy. He's a Harvard guy, right? But they're going through a lot. The first thing is, oh, my God, someone's really telling us that they don't want to be here like that, of that caliber. That's a real stick in the whatever it is, right? That feels bad. Your initial is, all right, if you don't want to be here, screw you. That's what the initial is. And then you come back a little bit, you're like, all right, let's see how we can make this work, right? You put the ego aside and the emotions aside. How can we make this work? But it seems as though it's time, right? It seems as though that's what his statement was. I'm talking about player, not GM, of course. And I think at that point you step back and you start really thinking about how you're going to get this deal done. And can you get it done? right? How many people are going to be out there willing to take two twos and potentially, or sorry, two ones and potentially a three? It might even be more. You never know. Like that, this is a big deal, and it's a big deal for Andrew Berry and company, but also on the receiving side, right? That costs a lot, and you're going to have a big ticket.
So if Berry calls you, and you're the GM of Washington, and the deal works, it's, you know, you guys are on the phone a bunch, but it comes down to a one, a one, and let's just say a four. Would you do that?
I would strongly consider it if, you know, given the money you guys have here space-wise, given the money that Washington has, I think that is something that I would seriously consider. Where on the other side, like I said a little earlier, I would not consider a receiver in that spot, of course. I think this is a different – and Dan thrives on these kind of guys, right? And I think
work goes into that, Thomas? Like, my concerns, like, so just, like, you then be the GM, just sitting here is I got to first find out that he – is not declining, which doesn't seem like he is.
Right.
But, like, what GM work goes into that? And now I've got to figure out, okay, what is my team's evaluation of him? So, like, you know, you guys at Sumer Sports will come out with what you think he should be traded for. Someone else might have. Like, what does that GM work look like before? I'd imagine it's not just Peter's on the phone making his own decision.
No, and I think this goes, when I'm talking about scenarios, this kind of plays in as well. You look at the entire organization, you run the mapping over the next few years of where your money is and where your declining players are, and that's part of your job as a general manager to project along with the head coach, and you continue to work through, you know, through all of those issues and all of those elements of your roster to determine, is it worth us? We have a quarterback. Like, you guys... I mean, Washington has a quarterback right now they can build for, God willing, for 10-plus, whatever it is, years. Mm-hmm. You know how much stress-free that, or how much less stress that is? That's a great spot to be. That's why I would say this is a good city and a good franchise to consider that. Where I also think, you know, Detroit, it's a little different there because I don't know where their quarterback situation. The quarterback situation to me dictates this to be a much deeper consideration than some of the other teams you're talking about. Because you still, two ones is a big deal. It is a big deal. And there are still holes in the roster that they need to take care of. But my biggest thing is you have a quarterback and you have a damn good head coach. And I think those are two things in a situation that I think you can build with.
Thomas,
but it's not easy. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good. My last real quick here is looking at last year's market, for example, for tackles and looking at last year's market for wide receivers, there wasn't a lot of top end, right, in terms of what I think now are kind of those premium positions where guys are making $25-30+ million, kind of non-quarterback division. Does the marketplace and maybe kind of predicting what it's going to look like influence how you acquire players? In other words, where I go, I can't go get a left tackle, I got to do it through the draft, right? I may not be able to go get a defensive end, I got to do this in trade. Does that kind of influence things when you're in that seat?
Oh, no question. And I think it's up to, you know, again, you guys know that I'm working for a data football analytics company. I mean, there's a lot of really cool data out there that's indicating where the good value positions are in any given draft and any given free agency period, for sure. We know that. And I think that's being very smart about it, right? You don't want to just go out there. And this is where I disagree on the market side of free agent wide receivers. It's really expensive. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of – I was in the past not a big fan of running backs in the free agent market. My God, I mean, what Howie did here is a world-class move here, as you know. But you are exactly right, and I think that's very important from year to year. And you also contrast that with truly getting from your scouting staff the strengths of the draft. We know this is a very strong tight end draft. We also know it's a very good pass rush draft. That might be part of this where you would sit down and say, okay, we can pull off a really good pass rusher in this year's draft. And we don't have to do this 2-1 deal. So that's how this all goes on. It goes back and forth a lot with the staffs.
Sumer Sports, love everything you guys are doing, the knowledge, the information. President over at Sumer Sports, what do people need to know about the outlet? It's growing.
It's growing. We grew from 3 to 75. We have all kinds of great information on online. We are, just so you know, we deal NFL, of course, but we also deal NIL portal. And that's a big thing now, right? It's all intertwined. Even though they're both one's NCAA and one pro, we love where we're going with that, and we continue to build. We're going to be adding probably another 10 scouts to our organization, and we have a good solid stall of guys right now that are really good. So it's a great combination in my mind of subjective football knowledge and wildly intelligent people.
Yeah, the data just makes you smarter. Thomas, love chatting. Thank you. Of course, you're so plugged in with everybody in Washington's organization. It's always great to have you on. Thomas Dimitroff with us, Sooner Sports, here on Grant and Danny. I want to get deeper into the Myles Garrett conversation with DR next. Is this something the Commanders need to get serious about? You're listening to The Fan. I'm in New Orleans. Danny's in D.C. Live coverage of Super Bowl 59, Radio Row. The week leading up to the big game on The Fan will be here all week long from 2 to 6:30 every single day. Big thanks to Thomas Dimitroff, who just stopped by the program. In about a half hour, we'll talk to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk here on Grant and Danny. Danny, if you're curious, they're doing the bit where they sing really loudly.
Who is
over
they again?
At the Philly.
Who does that, Philly ones?
It's Philly. It's Ike Reese and Spike Eskin. And the worst part is not that they sing, because that's bad and like, oh, okay, you're the first radio guys to sing coming back from break. It's very loud. Mm-hmm. And then they celebrate all the people that look at them and like gave them any attention. And for some reason, like, there's a guy right now who's recording them on his phone, giving them exactly what they want.
Mm.
I'm talking about them, so that's probably
so they've won already,
a loss, but I'm not letting them know it. But just insufferable.
So I don't know what I like less, that one or the when we were doing middays and you hear the Dallas radio station, like with the hog call or whatever, the Suey. What, remember that thing? You know what I'm talking about? Where like the whatever the Dallas show was called, like the midday mess or the morning mess or the mess hall, and the guy would go wee.
Oh yeah, the
for like
yeah.
an hour at the top
Pork
of every
chop,
hour.
Suey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It can all go away as far as I'm concerned.
There was clapping. People stood around and acted like it was a good idea. I don't know.
I'm weird. And I fully acknowledge this. Here's what I like. So you know how – you're Grant, right? You know how Grant will go, welcome back. It's Grant Danny here on The Fan. If you missed this, check this out. Here's what's coming up. Weirdo. You know what I mean? I'm just weird. I'm weird
that
I like that. You know, it's what we like to call just regular old radio. That's me.
But I don't know if I made this clear enough.
Hmm.
The singing itself – stinks, to be clear. Like, that's a bad bit. It's the celebrating the attention you get for the singing after that really annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
We're all 5 feet apart. You think we're just going to look away from you?
Yeah.
You know, anyone could. Yes, you got attention by screaming in the middle of a public area.
You could be on the subway where everyone's minding their business. They're like, look at this happy dance. Like, okay, you got attention. That's what you wanted, I suppose? Congrats?
I don't know.
Yeah.
How about Dimitroff making it now back-to-back guests that seems like they would trade a couple first-round picks for Myles Garrett? Danny, I'm starting to think, thing or not a thing, this could be a thing here.
The odds makers still have Washington as one of the leaders. There are several teams that with that kind of cap space who could who could sign a modified extension, rework the salary a little bit, keep it affordable for a while. I mean, again, this is all... And I asked Dimitroff about this, and I'm sure the question was muddled, but you know he spoke Danny there for a second and understood what I was trying to get at. Like, there are so few premium players at and then you especially consider when you have so few premium positions where there's anybody available. I keep pointing this out. Last year, the best free agent left tackle was Tyron Smith, who signed a 1-year deal for like $11. Like, the good left tackles do not become available. You have to seek one elsewhere. If Myles Garrett was a left tackle, you'd go, you got to go do it, right? See Trent Williams or something like that. A wide receiver marketplace that, you know, T. Higgins is the best available free agent wide receiver in some time. It doesn't happen. Last year it was like, I think Calvin Ridley was the best name that signed for an astronomical amount. Same thing with defensive end. This is a premium position, obviously a premium player for a team that has a huge need, the means to do it, and cap space. There's a lot of things that make sense here in terms of making the puzzle pieces fit.
Certainly are, and I believe that, you know, if Adam Peters wants to make a splash at via either trade or free agency, there's no better place to do it than defensive end, in my opinion, in terms of overall need importance of the position and area where you can most quickly improve this ball club. Like, if you were to add a superstar, I would make the case, take quarterback out of it where they've got Daniels anyway, but I just think it's an unfair comp. But I would make the case that the most direct path to improvement with an NFL team in terms of adding a position, if you look at it that way, I think you can make a real argument that a game-changing, heat-seeking missile, elite defensive end who eats worlds and just wrecks games could be the fastest path. Like, if you take T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett, who's basically the similar guy, comparable player, like, you've seen the clips, I'm sure, Danny. I have these saved and bookmarked, actually, where he'll go from one side of the formation to the other defensively, and teams will shift two tight ends back and forth. And then he'll just keep running back and forth so that they keep shifting until they get a delay a game or call a timeout. That's what we're talking about. That's the value of this player. What position could they go add the best player in the league at where it would more directly influence this team in 2025 than defensive end? I don't think there is one. A running back where they need speed and a home run hitter? No chance. A wide receiver opposite McLaurin would be a great addition. Again, sure. I'm arguing against things that will make them better. But will a quote-unquote number two but or co-number one? No chance. There's not a single position where going and getting a star makes them immediately better than doing it at defensive end. And now the guy that you might get is the best player in the league at the position and a perennial DPOY type? I mean, that argument alone makes it a reasonable thing to consider.
Yeah, and I think your point is actually a really good one in terms of, obviously, there's no position where if you improve it, you improve the team more so than quarterback. That's the one seed. You take it out of there. After that, what's the most premium thing? If you didn't have a good receiver in McLaurin, I would say that, maybe. But the guy that hits the quarterback, the guy that disrupts offense, that led the league in tackles for a loss, the guy that commands double teams at all times, the next leading sacker at the end of the season on that roster had three in Cleveland. He had 14.
It wouldn't be crazy if he had 15, 16 sacks and 29, 30 quarterback hits next year. Just think about what that means to a defense and the number of games that you just completely changed.
And that's what it is. So even if you, like, we talked about this leading up to the Philly matchup with Jalen Carter. Even if Jalen Carter's not killing you, the fact that you absolutely have to double team that guy, pay close attention to that guy, make the entire emphasis of your blocking scheme, design, play calls, and influence by dealing with that guy, not letting him ruin things. This is what Lawrence Taylor did in the 80s. I mean, Joe Gibbs invented a position to try to deal with the fact that Lawrence Taylor ruined offenses. He invented the H-back because of it, right? They ran entire schemes and designs differently to try to account for the fact that this one player was so dominant. And there aren't many Lawrence Taylors running around, but there have been Aaron Donalds. There are guys that are right now the pinnacle of their position, and I think Garrett's still got a window like that. Now, I'm not a doctor. I couldn't give you, like, a CAT scan of him, a physiological exam, to find out if he's still going to be the same guy in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, five. I have no idea, okay? But right now, this minute, he's still playing at that level, and I care a lot more about right now, this minute, where in other years, I care about 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I care about right now, for this football team, more than I have in terms of how I'm going to build and design. 99% of the time, I advocate patience and building soundly, and I'm as scared of free agents and big money spending as a lot of you guys. I was scarred too. I was there for Mark Carrier. I get the Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders things. I'm telling you, now that you have Daniels and the 60-minute style clock is ticking on these 4 years where you've got him at a ridiculous below-market rate, you get aggressive. And this is aggressive to me.
Very aggressive. I think I'm changing my mind from yesterday. I think talking, not just to the two interviews you've heard, but just throughout the day to different people around here, and now just continuing the dialogue with you, I think I'm in on trading for Myles Garrett.
Look at this.
I think I'm giving up two ones, and I am Mr. Conservative, don't get the superstar. I am Mr. You know, whatever you think you are in terms of not wanting to go get big name players, I am way, way, way more extreme, even less likely to do it than you. I think I'm in. It's time to trade for Myles Garrett, boys and girls. Give him a massive contract.
Here we go.
You got the third most cap space. Let's go round the horn here. Darris, two ones and a new contract for Myles Garrett. Are you willing?
I'm willing. I want an elite player on the on that side of the ball.
They don't have that.
They don't have that. Myles Garrett gives me that. Give me Myles
Garrett.
He'd
be the best player that would wear that uniform
100%
since Daryl Green in his prime.
Yeah, I can't recall the last time.
Who's the last Hall of Famer they've had?
I mean, since Sean Taylor, honestly. I mean, that's the caliber of defender you're talking about. Different position, obviously, but that's what it is to me. Yeah.
I mean, Bobby Wagner's a Hall of Famer, but he's not at the peak of his
powers. London Fletcher should be, but again, but your point's like still wrecking worlds. That's what it is.
And you said yesterday you're doing it.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is Toby Altizer trading two ones and giving a market contract to Myles Garrett this offseason?
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I was doing the postgame show after the playoff run in the last couple weeks of the regular season with Doc, and he said, there's only a couple of dudes like that, and when you get a chance to get one, you can add them to your football team. It changes so much about what the offense has to do, how they have to scheme, and then what the rest of your guys can do on the defensive side, because they're showing so much attention to that guy. When you get a chance to go get one of those dudes, especially when you're still going to have money to go spend elsewhere because you've got the rookie contract, because you've got cap space, absolutely 100% do it.
Are we going clean sweep here? Corporate Clary, are you trading Jared Goff and two ones, basically just the two ones, for Myles Garrett and giving him a new deal?
Well, I would trade for Myles Garrett in a heartbeat without the Jared Goff scenario in there. He's a Detroit Lion. Not sure if everyone's aware of this, but
that's your team.
With that said, I would trade anything for Myles Garrett. I need a DPOY on this team. I think Myles Garrett will be a Hall of Famer someday. I think everyone thinks he's going to be a Hall of Famer someday, and we just need a game changer, and that is what he is. So sign me up for Myles Garrett any day of the week.
I want to know if people are a little surprised to hear, whether it's Sikkema from PFF, former GM Thomas Dimitrov from Sumer Sports, both saying, yeah, you got to make the trade, you got to get aggressive. That is the perception here initially about Washington and Garrett. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 20 minutes from now, Mike Florio joins the show. We're Grant and Danny. In case you're curious, black polo shirt, jeans, white Nike kicks. The black polo shirt has a pocket on the left breast.
Let me see that.
And now you know what I'm wearing.
Yeah, that is correct. This is the Vipers Under Armour style shirt that a guy gave to us at Charlestown Races and Slots. Remember that? Very nice guy. It's like a
probably 10 years ago.
Team. Yeah, it still fits. It still works. It's very nice, and I got my my blue Under Armour sweats going. Dressing up for today's program.
Oh, we're going comfy today, aren't
we? Yeah,
we're
comfortable.
Sweatpants and dry fit Rouye.
Mm-hmm.
He's in baby mode. If you missed the double play,
that's right.
You missed the development on this here radio program. I guess, are we ever going to mention it again? Was it just the people that listen to the double play they get to know?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, there's no further discussion. No, I mean, it's cat's out of the bag. I said it today. I've told people, but everybody knows. I got a third son who arrived not this past Friday, but the Friday before. So however many days that is however many nights since I've had a good night's sleep. And I don't remember what we did today. Like, you and I have done a show. It's almost 6 o'clock. We're about 4 hours in. If you it was like, Daniel, I'll give you $1 million right now. Just go through what we've done today. I couldn't tell you. My brain doesn't work.
You won't need to, luckily, because we've got Mike Florio at the top of the hour. So rather than having you just recap the show, we'll give more quality content. Pro Football Talk's Florio swinging by here in New Orleans on Radio Row on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go to Dave in Silver Spring on line two. Wants to hop in. Are you surprised with some of our super plugged-in guests saying if they were Adam Peters, they would try to trade a couple of first-round picks for Myles Garrett?
No. I think we go three. Danny, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you, brother.
I think we go –
We go three. We do it while Howie Roseman's in New Orleans, distracted. And we get this done. I mean, he immediately makes all our linebackers 10 to 20% better. He makes Lattimore's hamstring that much better. Sanders Strill picks up three more picks in the slot here with this guy rushing the quarterback. We have to get it done now.
You know what it is too, Danny? It's another way to view this, I think, through this lens. It is an endorsement on the operation that everyone's saying they should go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because forever, of course Washington's not going to trade for Myles Garrett. Why? They're not a player away.
Right.
They're not an elite defensive end from maybe, you know, being in a conference championship game or a Super Bowl-type team. Well, they just got to one on accident.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are a Myles Garrett away from feeling like they could win a Super Bowl with a decent offseason otherwise.
Yeah, they wouldn't just
and
wash their
I think
hands.
All these people
right.
saying this, it's just an endorsement of
yes.
that's a really good team. Why shouldn't they go get a great player?
It's an endorsement of the process, Peters, Quinn, and company, the staff that's pretty much all intact returning next year, and Jaden Daniels. Yes, these are not flashes in the pan. There's no five-game win streak just to make the postseason. There's no 3-6, we're evaluating the team, miracle run with Dick Crawford returning a punt against Baltimore to win it. This isn't some mirage. The nuts and bolts for excellence are here. Yeah, a couple guys punched above their weight class this season. And I don't know how repeatable it is to have Olamide Zaccheaus have an enormous game against the Eagles in a 30-point comeback. Okay, that's a little bit crazy. Doesn't mean your offseason's done as well if you go get Myles Garrett. There's still plenty of roster building to be done, and they won't rest until it's complete. But there's a reason Adam Peters goes, we're better than we thought. Let's go get Marshawn Lattimore. Whether that one works or not, I don't know. But you could see he has that understanding of, maybe I didn't plan on being here, but I am here. Let's act accordingly.
Richard Crawford from?
SMU.
Attaboy,
Dynamite. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why I remember that one. That was part of that whole.
I am blown away by you.
That was when a third of their roster was SMU guys for some reason.
Yeah.
It was like the dude, Ribeye, that would curse on our show every time he
Josh
came on.
Larivas.
Yeah, we had to dump him. And then like they went and got a bunch of players from a program that won like three games in a million years. And I'm like,
wasn't Aldrick Robinson also SMU?
Feels right to me.
I think he was. Now, if you get this one, I will mail you. I don't even know where you get one. I'll go and find a $2 bill. And I'll get a crisp $2 bill and mail it back to you with a postcard. What number did Richard Crawford wear?
36.
Wrong. 39.
Oh!
Wrong. Dickie Crawford wore 39.
My man Dick
Crawford. You're not a numbers guy.
No.
You're not a numbers
guy. It's 3-something.
But that's what I was about to say. I was about to give you a compliment. You were so close.
Yeah.
I almost had to go find a $2 bill to mail to you.
Actually,
I used to have this great uncle. You did what?
I said I would have loved that Odyssey for you to find a $2 bill, then like use the mail. Like, who's done that?
Oh, it would have been terrible. I used to have a great uncle who would send me five crisp $1 bills on my birthday growing up. And they were like, I don't know how he did it. He'd go to a bank, I guess, and get like never before used ones.
Give
but
me
they
the
were
new
super,
ones. Yeah.
The crisp ones, the best. But then I had a great aunt who would send me a $2 bill every year for like Christmas. I always thought that was the coolest thing.
Dude, they were so awesome. I don't know why they took them out of circulation. You know, the one thing that Canada's got that's pretty cool, yeah, they're coins, which is butt annoying. So you have to, like, sit there and study them until you get used to it. They got loonies and toonies, the $1 coin and the $2 coin. That's helpful to have an odd unit and then an even unit that's still pretty low to make some change and to be able to purchase stuff. The $2 bill should be in circulation. That's my hot take.
Canada, you're talking about our friends to the north, our allies.
America's hat.
We're big friends of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to annoy anyone. I agree with what you guys agree
Whoa,
with.
What are you getting at, dude?
And I disagree with what you guys disagree with. Canada, our friends.
Our friends.
Indeed. For Danny Rhea, I'm Grant Paulson, telling you that Mike Florio comes your way next from Radio Row here at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, Louisiana.